This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome into College Football Game Day on this Saturday. I'm Todd Lebo in for Danny Klingscale. Short show this week. We've got a lot of fun. It's homecoming in Kansas. We've got the KU Network starting for us here at 9:30. But it's not the only game at 11 o'clock in the Big 12. Stan Weber, as always, is alongside. He's down in Manhattan for a big game for Kansas State. They've got Houston coming in. Stan, what a great Saturday to have a lot of games, but I don't know why we have three of them at 11 o'clock. Let's talk about your game first. K-State is right there with everyone else with one loss. You have one loss. There's no room for error. How big is this one for the Cats today?
It's very big because K-State at this point last year had the same 5-2 record that they have now, and they took off and never looked back and made it all the way to the Big 12 championship game. 3-1 in conference right now. They've given up that loss to Oklahoma State, tied it every time. Every other year, they just look like Halloween contest or something, like someone stole their uniforms, and they play awful against Oklahoma State. But you take away that, and this is the point in the year where K-State takes off. Remember last year, they beat number 9 Oklahoma State 48-0 and never looked back. And will they be able to do that after beating TCU 41-3, the largest margin of difference in the game between K-State and TCU ever? You know, there's a decent chance, but they got to prove it this week because Houston is here. First time ever K-State playing Houston, never played in history. And it's the first time K-State is going to be playing a team as a conference foe in the first time they ever played them since 1915 in Iowa State. So this is kind of a rare bird here, seeing Houston come in. But Houston is dangerous, Todd. We know that they got a quarterback in Donovan Smith that threw for over 350 yards against K-State last year as Texas Tech's starting quarterback. He almost pulled an upset against Texas. They've been throwing the ball a lot, and they have some dangerous weapons at wide receiver. But if K-State is able to establish that what they did the last 2 weeks is becoming their norm, they're going to be hard to beat. If you think about the rushing yards, over 275 yards in each of the game, more like 350 in the last game. So the K-State offense is getting after it. 9 different players ran the ball for K-State. Diversity in the running game they showed against TCU. They ran the ball down Texas Tech's throat. If they're going to be able to do that, Todd, they'll be better than Houston, and that will gear them up for a winning streak that could make them dangerous going to Texas the next week.
So what do we make of Houston? They were down 21-0. Do we talk about them as the team that came back and had Texas on the ropes and had the ball down in the red zone with a chance to tie them? Or do we think that this is just a team that's just where they belong, near the bottom of the Big 12?
Well, do you watch the sideline video of Dana Holgorsen, their head coach?
I love Dana Holgorsen running around on the sidelines.
He's animated. His face represents that football team.
Right.
Despair in one moment, and a quarter later, a calm smile on his face with no red in his face at all. Houston is all over the board, and that's what's crazy. You go back and look at that West Virginia game that they won. You could pick moments, and I could show you a whole quarter of video and say, look at West Virginia just smash this group of guys. You know, they're not in the same league. They don't have the physicality of the Big 12. Then you look at another quarter of the same game, Todd, and Houston is lighting them up. You know, they got Matthew Golden, a wide receiver who is explosive. He has 2 kickoff returns for touchdown already this year, Todd. Samuel Brown getting it done, and that may not be the go-to guys on critical third down situations. They get the ball to their slot receivers. They'll go 5 wide empty. They are schizophrenic in how they play, and so you don't know which version you're going to get them. Here's what I always think, as you know, Todd, the danger factor. What happens if they put 4 quarters of their best play together? Then they would be legitimate and dangerous. If they put 4 quarters of their worst, then they're bottom of the conference because they're not physical enough on the defensive side. They don't dominate over there. They're not as big and strong as the Big 12 teams. They have some trouble stopping the run. I can make all those cases. But you know what they've been so far this year?
Mm-hmm.
Different teams in the same game.
Right.
And really, it seems like Donovan Smith has gotten to a rhythm in the last 2 games that they played really well in, beating West Virginia and losing Texas. He goes off to a slow start. Looks like he can't complete a pass in the first quarter. And then he can't miss for the second and the third quarter. So I don't know. They're all over the board, as variable a team as I've seen this year.
Stan, quickly before we have to take our first break on this truncated edition of College Football Game Day, have the Cats settled into this quarterback kind of rotation thing? Or do you think they're going to eventually get to someone is like, hey, this is our quarterback the whole time?
They will not get into this is our quarterback the whole time, I don't think, unless Avery Johnson takes off and becomes Patrick Mahomes. Okay, I mean, remember Alex Smith, how well he played that year that Patrick was a rookie?
Yep.
And if we would have let Patrick play throughout the year, don't you think at some point they're going, Alex, great year. I mean, you're doing fantastic. But Patrick Mahomes has to be the starting quarterback. That's the only scenario. But I think injuries and things like that may come into play. You hope not. They could sort things out. But generally, I do think they found a rhythm. That part of your question, I think the answer is yes, Todd. I think that they're going to play both these quarterbacks. More than likely, Will Howard to be the starter. And then Avery Johnson will come in at some point in the first quarter. But I do think it's a question mark. Say the second quarter on, they're going to play it game by game. So what we saw series after series changing, like we did the 9 series with each guy changing every other series, I don't think that's the fashion that they're set on for the rest of the year. It'll be a game-by-game situation, but I do think probably until otherwise said, Howard should start, Avery Johnson should come in pretty quickly. Everyone will know on the team when that's going to be, and after that they'll play it game-by-game.
Two big ones here for our locals. 11 o'clock, K-State is hosting Houston. 11 o'clock, Kansas is hosting Oklahoma. We'll take our first break on College Football Game Day. We're brought to you in part by Hen House. Halloween is just around the corner. Whether you're giving out candy to trick-or-treaters or celebrating a big win, Hen House Market has everything you need for the occasion. Our wing bar, deli trays, award-winning salad bar, and signature Tippins pies will make sure your friends and family never miss your event. Thank you for letting Hen House Market be a part of Kansas City for 100 years. Hen House, your local market since 1923. Welcome back into College Football Game Day on this Saturday. I'm Todd Lebo in for Danny Klinkfield. Short show today because we've got the KU-Oklahoma game. Pregame starts at 9:30, and it is homecoming, and it's sold out, and there's lots of great events going on over there. If you're driving over there right now, I'm going to tell you about a place you got to stop by. Let's talk to Will Carter. He's the Senior Vice President and Director of Marketing for Central Bank of the Midwest. Will, you guys have a lot of stuff going on with your partnership with KU, including a big tailgate party, kind of homecoming activation. Tell us what's going on in Lawrence this morning.
Yeah, good morning. Absolutely, Todd. You know, Central Bank is proud to be the community banking partner of the University of Kansas, and we are also very excited that we are the title sponsor, along with Adidas, of the homecoming game this weekend. And so we're going all out. We've got all the stops out. We're going to have our big tailgate actually at the bottom of the hill. You're going to be right next to the stadium. You won't be able to miss us. We'll be out in all the action. So after you go watch the broadcast with Fox, you can come down the hill and hang out with us. We're going to have games, prizes, food, a little bit of everything. My favorite thing, Todd, we have a Plinko board. So if you ever saw the Plinko board on Price is Right, now's your chance to come play some Plinko and win some awesome prizes. We have so much KU swag to give away. And we're just looking forward to seeing everybody out there. We're going to have the whole Central Bank team out on the hill having fun, rooting on KU. We want a big win this weekend to carry those homecoming traditions on. So we're really excited about being out there.
Now, everybody knows I went to Oklahoma, okay, but this is fun. It's a sold-out crowd, and everything looks like it's kind of turned a corner with Kansas football since you guys kind of came on board. They had a great year last year, and they're having a great year this year. Tell us about the partnership with KU, how it came about, and how much fun it's been the last couple of years.
You know, I'd love to say that we could take credit for their success, but I'm going to leave that to the coach and what the great things he's doing with the team. But tell you what, man, we couldn't be more proud that we came on during a time when the football season is rebuilding and doing so well, man. We've been so impressed with what they're doing. And the partnership with us now started a couple of years ago in 2022. And so we've been spending a lot of time on campus, really engaging with the campus and working with the different campus groups. providing financial education to students, working with the business school, doing internships for students, and really trying to be a holistic bank to the University of Kansas and be a little bit more than just a sponsor. I think that's something that's important for us because we realize that the students coming out of school are our future. You know, they're going to eventually replace us one of these days. And so we've just got a great relationship with the university, and we love working with them. And obviously athletics is a huge part of that. We love working with the athletics department on these big games like homecoming, and we're going to be doing some really cool things for basketball season this too. I'm excited about, but I won't give those away just yet. But some awesome things that have happened in the last couple of years. We were able to open a new branch on campus inside the KU Memorial Union there, and we love that location. We get to see a lot of people. We get to interact with faculty, staff, students, a little bit of everything. So we really love that branch. And then some new news coming. We're about to open a new branch probably in January over on Rainbow, just across from the KU Medical Center. So, again, we're going to have a little bit more central bank. And so that's going to take our branch network up to 49 branches around Kansas City. So there's plenty of places to come visit Central Bank. And so we're just, again, proud to be a part of the partnership with the University of Kansas. We love the Jayhawks.
We're talking to Will Carter from Central Bank, and they've got a homecoming event happening this morning at the bottom of the hill for the KU-OU game. And you don't want to take credit for it. I'm going to tell you this right now. They sent an email out. The game is sold out, okay? And they only had one sellout between 2009 and 2022 when you came on board. And now since then, this is the fifth sellout. I'm just saying, maybe it's Lance Leipold and the fact that they're winning games and going to bowl games, but maybe it's Central Bank. That's just me talking, not you, Will. You don't have to take credit for that. Tell us about some other products you guys have with Jayhawk Checking.
Well, hey, you know, here's the one thing we can do. We can give our Jayhawks a little luck, and a really good way that you can do that is with Jayhawk Checking. If you guys haven't seen it, the new official Jayhawk debit card is here exclusively at Central Bank, and you need that card in your wallet. It is so pretty. It's got the Jayhawk very prominent on the front of the debit card, and that's a great way to carry on your homecoming tradition, your football, your basketball traditions. Show off that card wherever you're out shopping or buying food, and let other people see that you're a big Jayhawk fan. And you can come into any of our 49 branches and talk to us, and we'll get you signed up for Jayhawk Checking. Or you can just hop online and go to jayhawkchecking.com. We've got it real easy for you, jayhawkchecking.com.
Will Carter, before we let you go, tell us again where you'll be for folks going over there right now. I know there's a lot of people driving down K-10 to get to Lawrence. Where are you guys this morning, and where can they come check you out?
That's right. Well, I hope everybody, for one, is careful coming down K-10 and 23rd Street. There is a lot of construction, but take your time. Get here. We're going to be here all morning. We hope everybody has a lot of fun with us. We're going to be right at the bottom of the hill. You won't be able to miss us. We're right next to the end zone of the stadium. Come party with us. Come enjoy the tailgate, prizes, games, food, all the works. We want to see you there. We want to get to know you and have some fun, and let's celebrate KU and a big victory over Oklahoma this weekend.
Well, I don't know about the big victory. Let's just cool the Jets on that. I'm a Sooner guy. But play some Plinko down there.
I had to take a little jab there, Todd.
As soon as I'm off the air here at 9:30, I'm driving straight down that road, and I will come check you guys out. Will Carter from Central Bank, Director of Marketing, thanks so much for coming on with us and explaining the partnership you guys have with KU, and we'll see you soon.
Absolutely. We look forward to seeing you guys. Have a great one, everybody.
That's Will Carter from Central Bank, man. Go check it out. I'm going to go by that tailgate. It's going to be a great event right there at the bottom of the hill. College Football Game Day continues after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back into College Football Game Day. Short edition here for you. I'm Todd Lebo, in for Danny Klingscale. Stan Weber is on the line. He's in Manhattan. 11 o'clock start for K-State and Houston out there. We've got 11 o'clock in Lawrence for homecoming. Sold out, Stan, for Oklahoma coming to Kansas. People are excited about this game. Kansas has given Oklahoma a little bit of a fit the last couple of years, but they haven't won in a long time against the Sooners. What's the danger factor here for Oklahoma coming in as like a 10-point favorite into Lawrence, Kansas today?
Well, I think it's very dangerous from Oklahoma's perspective. You got to give them all the credit in the world, first of all. Todd, I know you're an Oklahoma guy, and you were very calm this offseason saying that you believed that Oklahoma would bounce back after what, their worst year since John Blake was the head coach, which is in the late 90s. Oklahoma came in this year, and I liked their schedule. I really liked how it played out. I thought they would get some momentum. In my early discussions with you about who would be in a championship game with 14 teams vying for those two spots, I had Texas as a favorite because of how good they finished off the season, and I thought yours would be better. I had Oklahoma and K-State, kind of the other two teams, battling it out. So I fully expected Oklahoma would grow and develop as the season unfolded with their non-con, the toughest game at Tulsa. I thought that'd be fine. They ease into the conference at Cincinnati. But, boy, when they turned it on and beat Texas, Todd, a ton of credit is deserved. But we've got to find our way between what Oklahoma was last year and what their record is right now, and they're somewhere in between. And there's no guarantee that they can just run out and say, we're Oklahoma, and win the way they used to. They're still in somewhat of a developmental stage, getting used to Brent Venables' way of doing things. The defense is much improved, but that's from a very poor defense last year, as you could obviously agree to. So where is Oklahoma? The quarterback's unbelievable. Dylan Gabriel, he can light it up and beat people. But all you have to do is watch last week's UCF game and realize that it is hard for Oklahoma to just smash people. They can play a high level, but if you're good on offense, you can still make their defense give some points up, some yards, and get into a scoring battle. And then it becomes a dangerous game. KU had a week off. This is the biggest game they've had in a long, long time, and what a signature game it would be for Lance Leipold in front of his home fans to beat Oklahoma after he beat Texas a couple years ago on the road. And I think Kansas's offense is really good. They're ready to get into a high-scoring affair. A lot of this is going to be what is Oklahoma's attitude, because before, as you know, Todd, there was some complacency, and it's hard to play at KU when there aren't a lot of fans there. But the good news for OU is there's going to be some environment there, man. We're going to kick off here in just a little bit, and the place is going to be rocking. I think that helps OU's focus. But a lot of this is going to be how much does Oklahoma respect Kansas? And that on the football field, it's probably going to come down to turnovers. I don't go there a lot, Todd, like, hey, turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. But, you know, will Jason Bean – who will make a lot of good plays for Kansas, will he make a couple mistakes? Because, as you know, Todd, Brent Venables' defense is going to bring it. They're going to come at angles and with blitzes that people have never seen before. And they're going to try to throw KU off. And who's going to win that battle? Does a blitz come from Oklahoma that allows a screen pass to go for a 70-yard touchdown? Or does it mean a pass that's thrown where a defender is not expected to be and it turns into a turnover? I expect the game to be close, high-scoring. I don't know. What do you think? Do you feel that the concern that I do that this game could really be dangerous for OU?
It's absolutely dangerous, and I do think turnovers are a key. Oklahoma is one of the best teams this year in the whole country in turnover margin. They're getting a lot, and they're not turning it over a lot. Kansas has been really good in the turnover situation. They scored two touchdowns against BYU, remember, on defense, and that helped them win that game. And when they haven't been as good on the turnover margin, that's where they've struggled, right? That was a problem down in Oklahoma State. I think Oklahoma's defense is light years better than it was last year. I think Kansas' defense is better than it was last year, but I don't know how much. Last year, Oklahoma got 700 yards of offense against Kansas and turned the ball over three times. I mean, it could have been worse. So they did not have a good matchup for them. But if Kansas plays, you know, conditions aren't going to be the greatest either, right? If they don't turn the ball over and they get some turnovers and, better yet, even score on the turnovers – anything can happen in this game, and I do. I mean, the over-under is like 68. I think it's definitely in play. It should be wildly entertaining when these two offenses get going, because I know this. There's no chance that Kansas is not going to move the ball, because Lance Leipold has shown he knows how to do that.
I think it's really up to Dylan Gabriel. He's the variable to me, because, Todd, what he did against Texas and what he's done at Oklahoma all this the time he's been here has been pretty elite. Can he play in this kind of weather? Can he function at a high level like he did last year? They had those turnovers, but he was lighting KU up, right? And KU's better on defense this year. But he lit Texas up. He made the big drives. He's a guy who could be in the Heisman Trophy consideration. If he plays to his best level and can handle the weather conditions and deliver the ball accurately and find the receivers and not get sacked, I think Oklahoma wins the game. But I think there's a ton of pressure on him, because when it comes to the reliability of the running game, Todd, I trust Kansas. They got two backs. They got a variable running game. If this game gets where the quarterbacks aren't functioning at the highest level, they don't like the weather conditions and things like that, and you have to rely more on the running game, I think Kansas has the advantage then. So I think it's Dylan Gabriel's excellence. He's the best quarterback on the field. If he can play at his best level, OU wins. If not, whoa, get your coin out and start flipping it because it could go either way.
Yeah, Oklahoma's tackling better this year, but you have to tackle against these Kansas backs because they break tackles. That network starts for us at 9:30, kickoff at 11. Let's talk about Missouri a little bit, Stan. They're off this week. They got the job done. We talked about this last week. You didn't want to lose a game, have a bye week, and then go to Georgia. They're riding high right now. How important was it for them to win that game and get to sit back and watch football today?
Very important. Todd, we talked about it on College Game Day last week. I thought it was a pressure game for Missouri. You're at a level now where you have to win the game. They're going to have a good season no matter what, but boy, what you could strive to and become a factor in the whole nation, you got to beat South Carolina. They're struggling. They got punched in the mouth, and they cannot believe they lost to Florida. They lost a close game to Tennessee. They were better than Georgia at the half, and even into the third quarter, they were better than Georgia when they started this early season conference game. But ever since then, South Carolina has not been able to get it done, and they don't normally play well against Missouri, especially in Columbia, Missouri. So all that pressure on the Tigers, you know what they did? They acted like it was no pressure at all. They lit them up. They looked like they were the way better team. Got ahead right away by 3 touchdowns and, you know, hardly looked back. After doing that, you look at the last 6 quarters, maybe 7 quarters, the finishing off of Kentucky on the road and what they did against South Carolina. Todd, that's elite stuff. So right now, they have now positioned themselves with a week off to get some trick plays ready, look extra at what they want to do against Georgia. And one important thing I said in that little paragraph there, Georgia was getting beat by South Carolina legitimately through the half. They could not move the ball very well. Missouri could compete with this Georgia team. They were better than them last year, Todd, for almost 58 of the 60 minutes at home. But here on the road, you got to expect Georgia to be very good, alert, and ready for Missouri. But I think Missouri can match up with them. Getting a week's rest is really helpful. That was very impressive. Going to Kentucky, beating South Carolina, that was a fork in the road for Mizzou, and they definitely took the good fork positively up the ladder toward that 10-win season.
As we talked about with the teams in the Big 12 who just have one conference loss, right? Everything's there for them. They can go get this done. Missouri's got one conference loss. Georgia has none right now, and they're playing a team today. This is the world's largest outdoor cocktail party in Florida who's only got one. So right now Florida feels like if they get something done today, they can kind of take control, and we'll see what happens. I think one of the cool things for Mizzou is they're sitting and watching, and then Georgia, even though they're, in my opinion, they are a 2-touchdown favorite. They're way better than Florida. This is a rivalry game. It's probably going to take a lot out of them. We talked a little bit about, like, Oklahoma wasn't great against Central Florida. That was after getting patted on the back and beating Texas and all that stuff. There's going to be an exhaustion factor probably for Georgia heading into that Missouri game. How exhausted can Florida make Georgia today? And is that something that could maybe help Missouri if Florida gives Georgia all they wanted?
Yeah, I think so. All the things you said were accurate, but I don't even think what happens on the field is very much of the factor to me, Todd. If Florida beats them, you know, they're going to be down. If Florida fights them to the very end and plays with physicality and rivalry game exuberance, that all matters. But even if they win by 17 points and just steadily are better than Florida all day long, it's still going to take a lot out of Georgia. This is a rivalry, Todd. You know it as well as anybody that I know. When Texas played Oklahoma back in the day, the week before or the week after was your chance to upset those two teams. They would be national championship level and half asleep the week before and the week after because that focus is so big. Well, in Jacksonville, when they play this game in Florida versus Georgia, it's the same thing, Todd. It's just like Texas, Oklahoma. They are not going to spend much time thinking about Missouri. They're going to be talking about, and all the fans are going to be talking about the trip they took and how much of a party it was and how much fun it was to beat Florida, whatever. So Missouri's going to be able to sneak on in, even though it's 2:30, CBS, super national game, the great exposure for Missouri, big-time game. But from Georgia fans, do you think at the tailgate they're going to be spending a lot of time worried about Brady Cook next week?
Right.
I don't think so. They're going to talk about what's happened in the Florida game. And, well, you know, what's Alabama going to do? Hey, do you think Alabama's really going to be there in a championship game when we get to Atlanta? That's going to be the conversation. So I think Missouri's got a good chance to go shock the world. The point is what can Georgia do? When Georgia saw Kentucky come in the room and everyone said, Kentucky's coming after you, they're very good, this is a feature SEC East game, Georgia spanked them and just said, no, we're national championship level. That's the question. Will Georgia come play that way, or will they somewhat overlook Missouri? That's what I'm waiting for, how Georgia handles it. And I really don't think what happens this week has a whole lot to do with it, because if they lost, would that make them mad and say they can still control their own destiny? I'm just not sure how it's going to go. But this Georgia team, Todd, is not the same as the last two national champions. That doesn't mean they can't win another one. It's just I don't think they would beat the last 2 years' teams.
Yeah, I'm not sure they'd beat their 2017 team. I mean, but hey, listen, someone wins every year. That's the way it goes. And we know we're going to get some winners today in these early games. Stan, have a great call with Wyatt on the network. Kansas State's got Houston. We've got turning this thing over to the Jayhawk Network here in just a sec. We've got the Kansas-Oklahoma game. They got a sellout there. It's homecoming. All of this stuff is happening right now. Mizzou gets to sit back and watch it all. It's going to be a great day for college football all around the country. Thanks so much for listening to College Football Game Day on this Saturday. I'm Todd Lebo in for Danny Klingscale. Stan Weber is always here no matter what. Have a great Saturday, folks. We will talk to you next week.